Hello, advanced listeners. Well, welcome to our health article for the month of September. And we've been doing a lot this month, and we're ending it nicely with how to sleep well or getting a good night's sleep. Sometimes this can be difficult. So we wanted to tackle this topic and perhaps get some discussion on some tips that would be helpful for you, our listeners, and also learn some new English that can improve your vocabulary. Well, with me in the studio today, I have two great panelists, so I'd love for them to introduce themselves. To my right, I have...
Hi, everyone. It's Lois here. Glad to be able to join you on September 29th.
Now, Lois, tell me, do you sleep well?
I go through periods where I sleep well, and then I go through other periods where I don't sleep well. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but I noticed that maybe since the late spring, I've been sleeping better than I usually did for a number of years previously.
Right. Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Well, and I'm sure we'll learn more about that as we go through today's program. And to my left, I have...
Hi, everyone. It's Albert of Advance.
Now, Albert, tell me, do you sleep well?
I do that thing where, like, when I want to sleep, I don't fall asleep. And when I don't want to fall asleep, I fall asleep.
Oh, that is frustrating, isn't it?
It is.
And I think perhaps today we'll be able to talk a little bit more about that as well. But, you know, sleep is something that really is very important to not just our health, our physical health, but also our mental health as well, because it can really affect your day. For you, Lois, how does lack of sleep affect your day?
Well, for me, if I do have a lack of sleep, I often feel dizzy or I feel like my concentration is really lacking and I can get in a bad mood too.
That's a good reminder there, yeah. What about you, Albert?
Well, it is an amazing difference, you know, in having a good night's sleep, you know, what it can do to you. I feel like it makes everything better or worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, we all have experienced lack of sleep, and we all have jobs where concentration and focus is required in our job, especially when we're dealing with Advanced Magazine. So we understand the effects of not having a good sleep, not only on our work, but also just like you mentioned, Lois, if we get in a bad mood, how that can affect just our day in general, right?
Right, and I think some people will also find that if they don't get enough sleep, their mind wanders quite a bit, and sometimes you have some irrational thinking, too.
Right.
Because I always think of it as if you don't get enough sleep, your brain is actually tired.
Right, right. Well, we do hope that our tips, or the tips that we share in our article today, will be helpful for you, our listeners. So let's get started and head into the magazine article. If you have your Advanced Magazine, turn to page 42, or if you have your electronic device, join us on our health article as we look at the first column for today. Tips for a good night's sleep. Focus on good times, breathe deeply, and get a massage. Tony Reid believes in the power of sleep. He cherishes his nightly 8 hours and hardly ever has trouble achieving them. But when that does happen, he's ready. What I do is to focus on the most peaceful time I ever had in my life, he says. For me, that was being on a camping trip, just sleeping in tents, and just really enjoying everything. Imagery. Daniel Taylor, a sleep researcher and professor, identifies Reid's technique as imagery. It's essentially relaxation, says Taylor. People use imagery any number of ways, Taylor says. You hear them saying, "Imagine yourself on the beach." It gets you out of the here and now, away from whatever things might be stressing you out. In a world where 30% of the population has what's called transient insomnia, apparently stressors abound. So do promising ways of dealing with them. If your insomnia is sporadic, you might consider the following additional recommendations.
Well, listeners, if you're just joining us, we are looking at a Huff article for the month of September, and we are looking at tips for a good night's sleep. Now, we have a deck, and in our deck it says, focus on good times, breathe deeply, and get a massage. Now, they are all things we're going to be covering in our article for today, but we're introduced to a gentleman early on in this article. What is his name, Albert?
His name is Tony Reed, and he believes in the power of sleep. You know, he cherishes his nightly 8 hours. Now, cherish means to protect and care for someone or something lovingly.
Yeah. Now, we know that 8 hours is generally what scientists say we should be getting, right? If we want to function well, they say, oh, it's good for you to get 8 hours of sleep a night. I've heard between 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah, I've heard now they've increased that more like to 6.5 to 8.
Okay.
So I know for me perfectly, I'm about somewhere between 7.5 and 8.
Okay.
When I was younger, I could go on less,
yeah.
But I sometimes found if I fell in between 6 and 6.5, I really was getting some dizzy episodes.
Right, so you could feel the difference.
Yes.
Just in that half hour.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Albert?
In terms of range, I feel like, according to my smartphone, I've been getting 6 hours. Which is kind of creepy at the same time, because I'm like, how does it know?
Yeah, is this an app that you're using?
It's just, like, on the default setting, at least on the iPhone, it's under health app. It comes with it, and it tells you how many hours of sleep you're getting.
I was wondering that, too. I had that for a while, and I was wondering how it manages or knows that you fell asleep.
Yeah.
This seems a little spooky to me.
Maybe it uses the microphone.
Maybe. Well, that's not really what our article is
about.
We're not doing technology right now. We're doing health. And like we said, it's good to try to get between 6.5 to 8 hours of sleep. So we see that Tony himself cherishes getting that 8 hours of sleep a night and hardly ever has trouble achieving it. But we are left with a question. What does happen when he doesn't get those 8 hours? Well, he says he's ready. What does he do, Lois?
Well, actually, he has a system down for himself. He says, what I do is to focus on the most peaceful time I ever had in my life, he says. For me, that was being on a camping trip, just sleeping in tents and just really enjoying everything.
Okay, and we actually go on in our next paragraph to give what he is describing here a name, and it's called imagery. And that's one of our specialized terms, Albert. What is imagery?
Well, it's a technique used in psychology where the patient envisions or visualizes pleasant thoughts and images to relax and counteract to go against anxiety or when you're nervous or any such.
Right. Yeah, and so when we are not getting sleep, what tends to happen is we become anxious, right? We start to get worried that we're not getting the sleep required.
Oh, yeah, like I talk to myself, oh, Lois, go to sleep. Oh, you need to go to sleep. Oh, you need sleep for work tomorrow. Oh, you're going to be so tired. Well, then I'm like, I might as well get up and do a load of laundry.
Whoa.
Work yourself up.
Yes.
You're that neighbor.
No, actually, I think of my neighbor, so I don't do it.
Thank you, Lois.
Well, so we see here that what Tony himself does is he uses this imagery to help his body relax, and he focuses on the most peaceful time in his life, which for him was this time while he was camping. And imagery is often used. We actually find out a little bit more about it from a sleep researcher and professor. What's his name, Albert?
His name is Daniel Taylor. And so he's a sleep researcher and professor, and he identifies the technique as imagery, and it's just really essential for relaxation. And people can use it in many different ways.
Right. And they use it in many different ways. How, Lois?
Well, here it says you hear them saying, imagine yourself on the beach. Mm. It gets you out of the here and now, away from whatever things might be stressing you out. Now, my own experience is something my husband taught me, that you imagine you're relaxing from the very top of your head to the tips of your toes, and you do each part of your body very slowly. So you say, okay, my top of my head's relaxed. Now my forehead is relaxed. Now, oh, sorry, I'm going to fall asleep. but it does actually work. It helps instead of getting yourself all anxious.
Mm.
And if you have this kind of pattern, like even Daniel Taylor is saying here, maybe when you see your bedroom in your bed, you think, oh, I go to bed and that's that relaxing spot.
Mm, good. Well, that's the thing, right? We are trying to counteract these anxious thoughts or the body being tense or stressed out, right? And so oftentimes people use imagery of peaceful places, camping trips, the beach, something that reminds them of a relaxation or relaxed place in their life. Right. Oftentimes, you know, you've heard people say in the past, oh, just count sheep, you know, because the idea of just counting one after another maybe tends to bore you and then you slowly fall asleep. All these things are used just to relax the body. And this is helpful because what are we finding out in the world today, Albert?
Well, at least 30% of the population has what's called transient insomnia. Now, transient means lasting only for a short time, or as we know it, temporary.
Mm.
And insomnia is a word that I feel like we hear a lot about, and it's just the continual inability to sleep for a sufficient length of time. So you're staying up all night, you're just stressed out. And I want to go back a little bit. I really like what Lois said about how, like, when you see the bed, you associate it with sleep. I feel like a lot of times people, like, you know, bring their laptop or they're on their cell phone while they're in bed, and so they kind of like, they're like, oh, I can get extra work done while in this piece of furniture. But you should really like have that divide and separation.
Right. Yeah. And that is often talked about with different rooms within the house. Keep it for what that job is, which it has become more difficult with technology invading kind of every area of our life, especially because the smartphone is so small, so convenient, so compact. People do bring it into their room or, like you said, their laptop as well. Well, insomnia is a continual lack of sleep. Have any of you ever experienced insomnia?
Unfortunately, I have for about a 3-week period. And it was really bad. If you get something like that, you really need to see your doctor because you cannot keep going without sleep.
Right.
It's actually extremely dangerous. People do not realize that it's dangerous for your physical health and it's dangerous for your emotional and mental well-being.
Right.
So you don't want to leave that unchecked. You might even want to talk to someone in your own family and say, have you suffered from this? Is this something that happens in our family?
How many days did you wait till you went to the doctor?
Probably 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Too long.
Right. So go after a few days of not sleeping.
Exactly. They think they suggested 3. I would definitely say no more than 3.
Mm. Well, we see that there's a reason many people experience transient insomnia, and that is apparently due to stressors. They say stressors abound. Abound means that there are a lot of them. What kind of stressors would we be talking about here? What causes stress in our life nowadays?
I feel like many things, right? I mean, like an event or a condition, or I feel like we do that a lot nowadays. We just worry about things that we really have no control at the moment.
Mm.
But I feel like just thinking about it gives us a sense of control, if that kind of makes sense.
Mm. We think it does, right?
Right.
Yeah, we think it does. Yeah, and you know, we have a lot of stressors if you... you're responsible for some things, whether that be work or in your family, and it's not getting looked after or taken care of. Or, you know, they say that some people who've had a loss of job or a death of a close loved one, or, you know, or you're maybe your kids aren't living like they should be and they're in some trouble or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can have a lot of stressors nowadays.
Right.
And I think a lot of people have more stressors in the job market or in jobs now because of the maybe not having the security in their employment that people had 25 years ago or even 15 years ago.
Right. So a lot of stresses can come into our lives, which cause us to be anxious and worried and can play with our sleep. It means we are unable to sleep well. Well, thankfully, so do promising ways of dealing with the stressors in our life, and we will be talking more about that. But we're given some advice at the end, which we did briefly talk about, Lois, but if your insomnia is sporadic, then you might consider some of the recommendations we are going to talk about in our next reading for today.
Deep breathing. Advises sound sleeper Jim Manning, focus on your breathing instead of your thoughts. Progressive muscle relaxation, as it is called, has been used as an insomnia treatment for many years, Taylor says. I think PMR is always a good addition, he says. It's good for anxiety and good for your health. Massage. Robin Plotkin sleeps well now, but, she says, there have been times in my life when sleep evaded me and proved to be damaging to every aspect of my life. I could see how it affected my everyday life in terms of mood, energy level, even my eating habits changed. Eventually, she took control of her health, got into a routine, and practiced more self-care. One way she continues is by having regular foot massages. I've always loved a massage, but thought of it as a treat, says Plotkin. I look at it now as almost a mandatory part of my health care.
Well, listeners, we are looking at tips for a good night's sleep, and one of the tips we've learned is imagery, thinking about pleasant thoughts to counteract any anxiety you might be feeling. But if you're somebody that experiences insomnia, which is a continual inability to sleep for a sufficient length of time, well, then there are some other things that you could possibly try to do. Now, if your insomnia is sporadic, which means it doesn't happen very often, it's on and off, then these tips might help you. If your insomnia continues and is not sporadic, well, then we advise that you see your doctor as soon as possible. Well, we've learned about imagery, but what is one of the other ways, Lois, that we can counteract insomnia?
Hey, this was something I really liked in the article because it's something I have to work on.
Mm.
It's called deep breathing. I'm apparently a shallow breather. So deep breathing is what we read here, and it advises sound sleeper Jim Manning, focus on your breathing instead of on your thoughts.
Now, how did you find out you were a shallow breather rather than a deep breather?
I think it was discovered probably by my doctor, or I'm married by my husband, right? Yeah. Or even maybe my daughter pointing out that she thought I was a shallow breather.
Okay. All right. So we're advised to focus on our breathing instead of our thoughts. In fact, we are given one kind of process, or what would you call this? Progressive muscle relaxation, Albert.
Right, or known as PMR. I was not aware of this technique until we did this article. So PMR is a method of deep muscle relaxation in which you tense. So you, like, imagine squeezing something like an orange, a group of muscles, while breathing in, and release them while breathing out, and then move on to the next group of muscles and repeat the actions throughout your whole body. So you're just tensing different parts, like behind your knees, your thighs, you know, just tense it a little bit, breathe in, and then let go, breathe out.
Good. Yes, in fact, this has been used in yoga classes for many years. If you go to a yoga class, you have to do lots of stretching and flexibility exercises, but at the very end is a time where they use progressive muscle relaxation. And I found that very helpful for myself. I have not suffered from insomnia, but it's interesting to see that it is one of the methods used to counteract insomnia. We see that it, according to Daniel Taylor, this sleep researcher and professor, he says that it is a good addition. It's good for anxiety and good for your health. But Lois, I think the next one, is this your most favorite one?
Well, I don't know if it's my most favorite one. Now, I personally, I know it says massage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I personally like more the foot spa. So they don't actually touch my feet. My feet sit in like warm to hot sudsy water. And like if I'm doing it myself, I might use a good nail brush and do all the stuff on my like toenails, but also on the bottom of my feet and stuff. And for some reason, even the swishing of the water and getting your feet to look like they've never ever been that clean before in their life, I don't know, it really kind of relaxes me.
Right, and that is the key point, something that will help you relax so that you counter the stress that you may be feeling. Well, we learned from Robin Plotkin, who sleeps well now, but she says that there had been times in her life when sleep evaded her and proved to be damaging in every aspect of her life. If something evades you, it means that it's avoided or you're escaping from someone or something. So she was unable to sleep, and it really affected her life. It affected her in terms of her mood, in terms of her energy level. I think this is something that we talked about at the beginning when I asked you, do you sleep well? And even her eating habits changed. So we really see that it affected her, but she decided to not let that get her down. What did she decide to do, Albert?
Well, she took control of her health and got into a routine and practiced more self-care. I feel like this is really crucial. You know, you really got to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. So this way you can be like a foundation, a pillar to take care of other people, especially those loved ones around you. And yeah, she put self-care first, and this way, you know, she can help others. And she loves a massage, but thought of it as a treat. And now she looks at it as a mandatory part of her health care. You know, sometimes we feel like, oh, this is for, like, lazy people, or it's just only you, you know, once in a while. But, you know, these things, a massage doesn't have to be, like, 12 candles lit, a little orchestra band in the back, you know. You can just, it can be super simple, maybe one candle.
Andrew, I mean, sorry, Albert seems to know a lot about this sort of thing.
I think he practices self-care, too.
I think he's going to high-end hotels.
Wow. See you guys later.
I think it's really important, especially we mentioned before about the stressors that we encounter in our life, to counteract that. These are just a few of those, whether it's imagery or deep breathing or massage. All these things, I think, more and more as our everyday life has become more stressful, we really do need to think about self-care. Now, for yourselves, what is something you do for self-care, Lois?
Well, one of the things I do for self-care that really relaxes me is go for very long walks.
Mm.
And I mean long. Mm. I mean kilometers long.
Yeah.
And it really helps me. And another thing I would say is I also really enjoy essential oils, which my friend here to my left, Amanda, introduced me to. That helps too.
Yes, it does. Yeah, that's good. What about you, Albert?
Well, I've built up over the years like a little routine. I feel like having a routine really helps get your mind into like, oh, I'm transitioning into sleep. So I would set an alarm to tell me when to start getting ready. So I don't have to worry about the time, but when my phone goes off, I'm like, okay, I have to get ready. Another thing is on my phone, I programmed do not disturb, so it'll automatically kick in. So unless it's really important phone calls from family that I've set as priority, it won't ring or buzz.
Mm.
I have a playlist that I like to play while I'm getting ready, you know, just brushing my teeth. It's the same set of music, and it's just really, it's like songs that I really like. And a little bit of stretching, too. Mm. Yeah, a little bit of stretching really helps the body. And, you know, I feel like all these little preparations, they really add up and help out.
Right. And, you know, I think it's really important to make these things a priority. You know, we allow a lot of stresses into our life to take priority, but we do need to make self-care a priority. Know what you like. Like, for example, Albert, you know what you like, whether it's your music or your routine. You like your walking. To make these things a priority. Otherwise, a lot of other things are going to fight for that time, whether it's your smartphone and that new game that you want to play. But we really do need to put these things on our schedule. Now, there is a little sidebar here about treating chronic insomnia. And could you read that for us, Lois?
Sure. It says, if you have chronic insomnia, that is, if it's been going on at least 3 nights a week for at least 3 months and disturbing your waking hours, you might want to seek professional help. We call some people treatment resistant, Taylor says. It's kind of like antibiotic resistance. It takes a specialist to implement the interventions.
All right. So if some of these things that we've been talking about today, whether imagery, deep breathing, or massage, you really are finding they're not working for you and you really still are struggling with sleep, then please seek a professional so that they can help you and that you can get those 8 hours or 6.5 hours to 8 hours of rest, because they are very important to functioning well during your day. Well, we hope that these things have helped you so far, but we have a lot more to share with you tomorrow, so make sure you come on back tomorrow. But until then, this is Amanda,
Lois,
and Albert
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.